יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Good morning and welcome to Mornings with Box 2 Radio, a broadcast that is centered around news and views, Bible Q&A, and special guests. Now get ready because it's time to scramble those eggs, brew that coffee, and open that Bible, and let's jump into Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Well, good morning. Let's go, family. I'm ready for it this day. The Lord has made. I'm ready to see what he has in store. Kaylee got 100% of her homework yesterday, to the glory of God. Amen. Woo, glory. God is doing something big, doing something great. And I'm not buckling in. I'm setting my sails. I used to say I'm buckling in and seeing what happens. Now I'm setting the sails, and we will soar with the Spirit of God and say, you blow that way, I'm going that way, because my sails are out in the name of Jesus. What a day the Lord has made on this beautiful August the 8th. Our kiddos here at Bethel Christian Academy are going back to school today. Got to hop over there and pray for the school this morning just for a few minutes. And I'm just saying, let's go. That's all I can say. You know, me and Hannah was watching something not too long ago, and the worship team was playing, and we were looking at something, and all of a sudden you just see the passion and the zeal on that keyboard organist, whatever he is, and I'm like, man, that's the kind of joy I want, the passion. He's in the background, so he's not even showing off for anybody. He's just doing it because he loves it. Amen. Loves the Lord and loves to play music for the Lord. And so if you're an organist out there and you're looking for a place to come on, I'm here. Like, we're yeah, come on. I'm praying for an organist. I'm praying for a violinist, Kaylee. I'm praying for an organist. I want an organ bad. I don't know why. I want an organ. So if you play organ and you're looking for a house of the Lord and you love Jesus with all your heart and you want to sell out, let's go in Jesus' name. I'm ready. God's bringing them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, glory. Kaylee, how are you doing this morning?
All is well with my soul.
Oh, man.
You brought up the violin. I actually went to put the strings in my Amazon cart, and for some reason they did not go through.
Make it.
It didn't make it.
Well, you just tell me what strings you need. I'll get them if that's what's holding you up. Let's go. Brother Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's what a wonderful day.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the day. Sunshiny outside. Sunshiny on the inside. Mm. Wonderful day.
Amen. Miss Hannah, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just still full of gratitude, but I'm excited for these kids that start back today, and I'm really glad you were going over there to pray for them, because I was praying over here, and I'm like, I need somebody to agree with me. I mean, I got the Holy Spirit, but I need somebody to agree in power, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My coffee cup, even, all things are possible to those who believe, so.
Well.
Mark 9.
Come on, God's raising up an army. God's raising up an army.
And hopefully some of those kids are going to tune in today. I mean,
amen.
Hopefully some of the ones that have already started back tune in the mornings now.
Absolutely.
I love that. Like, that was one of the things I remembered from listening when I was younger, on the way to school, listening to this. So I hope more and more kids start listening in the mornings on the way to school.
Yeah.
Well, welcome in if you are a little early probably still, but a few minutes from now they're probably going to start tuning in. And we are blessing you in the mighty name of Jesus. And look, I'm not just saying an organ and a violin. If you play the flute, if you play the saxophone, if you play the electric guitar, God's raising up an army.
Hey,
we'll make space here.
You have a whole little army. Well, I don't know how big the army is, but you have a little army of preschoolers that are going to be learning to play the flute.
Well, let's go. Let's do it.
This year.
We are ready. If you love the Lord and you're not doing it for a show and you want to hook in, I mean, I believe it. I've got a word from the Lord, I feel like, just a couple weeks ago, that he's bringing in musicians. And not that we're lacking, because I love our team, but I feel like there's a new sound coming. With that new sound, it may not be your traditional acoustic, electric, piano, bass, guitar, and drums. I mean, we got all that besides electric. And if you play electric acoustic, come on. but I feel like there's a newer sound coming. Mm-hmm. And
he's making room for people to be a part.
But but you know, doing. I would love an organist. That's what I'm really praying for. Somebody to play the organ. That organ.
Well, we have this many instruments. We need like a director.
Hey, look,
one of those people in the back corner.
We'll buy three more stage snakes, and we will buy a board next to the other board if that's what it takes to get the army that God's raising up. Because I believe, and I've shared this with you all, so it's not a unknown. I believe worship is a key thing in this next season that we're going into, and that's why I pushed the worship team that morning to realize that, hey, I don't think it's just the preaching or just anything like that. I think the worship is what's getting ready to shift in this next season, because it's the atmosphere setter. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people, which is in the Hebrew is actually saying he is enthroned upon the praise of his people. Where his exaltation comes, then the glory comes. And I kind of wish we would almost like at times leave the ideology of worship team and go into praise team, because I think what we do on Sunday mornings is more about praise than it is worship, because worship is a lifestyle. Worship's not just a song. Worship is a lifestyle. I lay myself down. But what we do is adoration and praise unto the King. And on Sunday mornings so often, not trying to throw a wrench in the plan or say we don't worship. We worship, but we worship worship is more of a lifestyle 24/7. Than it is a song. And so we are a praise team that's going to set the atmosphere, and a worship team that's worshiping on Tuesday just like we are on Sunday. And it's like we told the worship team that one morning, Sunday is not the first time of the week that you praise, and Sunday can't be the first time of the week that you worship. If you are not worshiping and praising in your prayer closet, if you are not lifting his name up in your car, if all you do is listen to garbage all week and then come sing praises to God on Sunday, then you are just trying to hype up and you're trying to put on a facade. But worship and praise team, that's about overflow, man. It's about coming in here on Sunday morning. They're so fired up and in the spirit already. It don't take a drum beat. It just takes the spirit of the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so I'm amped, and I don't know where all that come from, because I have a whole different scripture I was using this morning to open up. But if you're out there, I don't know, I just feel it in my spirit. God's going to start drawing some musicians in and some singers, and I just say yes and amen. We'll make space, but you got to love Jesus. All right, we're not just going to let anybody up there. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you're not serving Jesus, and you're not worshiping Jesus, and you just want to play music, well, you can come, and we invite you to get into the presence of the Lord, and we would love you to be here. But I believe worship teams and stuff are those who love Jesus. I'm not a fan of the worship team evangelism. I'm not a fan of it. But I don't care if you're playing the spoons on stage, or if you're singing backup, or if you're the lead singer, you are leading people into worship. Mm-hmm. And you.
I want to say this too, that for the people who aren't on the praise team, you are still so valuable. Like in the moments of as we're praising the Lord, mm-hmm. of tuning in, and it means so much. Not that we're. I try not to focus on people as much, but whenever I am able to see people just receiving from the Lord, and not even just receiving but pouring out onto others, pouring out and loving on other people in the congregation, and just being a part, really just choosing to not be a bystander and be a part of what God's doing, I appreciate you as a person on the praise team.
Amen. Well, the word for this morning that I was getting until I went on the worship team thing, and the word I got for this morning was generosity. Generosity. I got a scripture and I got a quote to start us off in this morning. Proverbs 11:24-25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Love that verse from Proverbs 11:24-25. And then Andrew Murray once said, the world asks, what does a man own? Christ asks, how does he use it? Love that.
That's good.
Love
that
those verses.
Good.
And I'm glad nobody was in there, because they probably would have thought I would have stumped my toe or hurt myself. But I was listening to a sermon yesterday. I had to walk into the maintenance building to grab something, and there was a part of the sermon about a church, and they were sitting there, and they said this, that there was a young lady, a young single mom, that was taking a Lyft and an Uber to church every single morning, Sunday morning, and that she was in a Bible study with these families and these young men, started to realize you're getting dropped off by an Uber or a Lyft every day, and you're like a single mom. And she was telling them, yeah, we don't have a car and everything. And the men of that group all got together, pitched in, and they bought her a car.
Awesome.
And I just started to wept because I remember, you know, early 30s, late 20s, the generosity and the burning for that kind of stuff that was in my heart, and how the world will try to strip that away, and demands start to strip that away, and wants will start to strip that away. And I think that ministry should be the most giving thing, that churches should not hoard up. We should give out. Mm-hmm. And that this is exactly what this verse is saying. One who gives freely will yet grows all the richer, and another withholds what he should give and only suffers want.
Yes.
And so be careful to hoard up. Be always be a river that's just flowing out. God puts it in you. God gets it out of you. And I'm not saying be unwise, but I am saying this. What I pray for the day, and I wept yesterday because I remember the day when I would pray and intercede, God, give me enough money to buy somebody a car. Yeah. Give me enough money to trust me with that kind of resources that I can buy the single mom a van and not even blink and go buy somebody. And it's not for pride. Nobody has to know about it.
Right.
But I just started to break down because my heart used to be there in generosity and giving, and it's been ripped away because of religiosity and stress. And I'm like, I'm done with that nonsense. Like, we're going to become a generous ministry here. We're going to generous church. Just I feel like the Lord's downloaded some stuff, and we've been talking about the mission of the church for 6 weeks now. There's a mission of the church, and then there's the church. And what is the church called to do outside of the mission? What makes the church? And so, like, I feel like the Lord's really just downloading some stuff, and generosity is a marker of that, 100%. And as the church, and I'm sitting here going, Lord, we see all these needs, and we can't meet everyone, but you have a big church. Mm-hmm. You have a big, big body, and this body has to get more generous with their giving. And I was sitting there yesterday, and I was reminded of the time that church, maybe just because I think about pizza often, but they were talking about they ordered a big old order of pizza to give away to everybody, and it was really just so they could tip the delivery driver a major tip. And the church just prayed for him. They brought him, like, this guy delivered the pizza to the church during church, delivered it, and then the church gave him this ridiculous tip and blessed him and got to pray for him. And this guy just broke down, and the Spirit of the Lord washed over him. Because you know what? Giving unlocks hope doors to people's hearts.
Amen.
And they realize you're just not all talk, and you're just not all, I'm better than you. No, you're generous in ways that are sacrificial. And the Bible promises us when one gives freely, they will be enriched. But they who hold on to what he should give, to them they will be in lack and want.
Mm-hmm.
That's a promise of the Lord. And so that's the word that I feel like somebody, it's for me yesterday, because, I mean, I was literally weeping and breaking down in the maintenance building, washing the bus yesterday. And I was just like, Lord, forgive me. Mm-hmm. Forgive me. And it hit me hard. It hit me right in the gut. You ever had that hit you in the gut?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just that's true. It's like, oh, somebody would have thought I was crazy or hurt or like stumped my toe or something like that. But it was a shot gut from it was a punch in the gut from the Holy Spirit yesterday when I heard that.
I have a question for you.
Absolutely.
How much of our finances belong to the Lord?
100%.
100%. So many times people get caught up, I gave my 10%. I gave a few dollars in the offering. But all of our money belongs to the Lord. And to go on even further, our cars belong to the Lord. Our house belongs to the Lord. All the toys we have belong to the Lord. Everything that we have belongs to the Lord. So are we sharing? We tell our little kids to share their toys. We try to teach them that, because kids naturally are stingy. Because if they're playing with the toy and then they lay it down and go over here and play with another toy, and another kid comes, picks up that toy, they will want that toy back just in a heartbeat. Well, that's kind of the way we are with our finances and with the stuff that God has allowed us to have, that we don't want to share it. But that's what it's for.
Yeah.
When we can share what we have with others, whether it's I've got a sister who she likes to do a lot of canning. She makes a lot of jelly. She cans a lot of vegetables. She cans a lot of things, and she just loves to give that stuff away. She loves to share. Don't ask anything for it. She just does it. It costs her money. It costs her time. It costs everything, and she does that. And there's people that do that. We all ought to be that way. Even if it's our time, our time should be also a tithe to the Lord that we're given. Plus, not just the 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. Now, some people say, well, that's 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, what about even if you even go further, you know, with somebody? And so that's been on my heart lately, is sharing what you already have, because we think that we have to be rich, and we don't have to be rich to share.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is just share what we have. And I think God blesses that and honors that when we do what we can, the best that we can do. He honors that in any way that we do it.
The Lord has really been highlighting to me people who, like, showing me the correlation between, I have three different professionals in my mind right now that I know that give their valuable, what would normally be, you know, worth a lot, their services,
mm-hmm.
but they give so much of their services for either so discounted or even just a tithe unto or an offering unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And I see the correlation of them being so blessed in their businesses.
Yes, right?
Because they're giving it, and they're not giving it in a way that they're like boasting about it or anything. Because I don't even think that people know. I don't think that really most people would know that they do these things, but the Lord is just like showing me. And I think I just love this week, this whole week of the broadcast. I feel like it's like the Holy Spirit has had like a theme planned for each day, and I've been titling each one I try to title them so people kind of know what we're talking about.
Right.
But I just love it how he focuses us in on these lessons and these themes.
Right.
And I think today definitely that's what he's trying to speak to us.
Amen.
So.
I feel like the Lord.
So right on, Aaron, on generosity.
The Lord speaks to me through foreshadow, because yesterday he was teaching me this.
Yeah.
In the sense of I got a wake-up call real early, and I had to get out of bed and go help Mom and Dad. And usually my first thought is, you know, just this, oh, man. But yesterday he was reminding me, he goes, because I'm always like, Lord, how can I better serve you? How can I better, you know, walk with you? And when I woke up and got dressed and went to save the day, he's like, you do things like this. You lay yourself down. Because I had my day planned. But guess what? The Lord took everything I had planned, ruined it, and made it better. Because I went and helped Mom and Dad. Their car had broke down, so I helped them. But then I also got to pray for, like, two different people. And if it wasn't for – I'm actually kind of thankful that the car broke down. Because I was able to – pray for people, but also see not only them soften and their faith grow, but it grew mine too.
Yeah.
And so like Tom, like Rick was saying, and you know, just being shifting our mindset off ourselves, because when that's the problem. Ourself is the problem. We look at ourself and we're like, well, actually I was actually gonna do the laundry today, and I was gonna do this, and I was gonna do that, and the Lord's like, no, actually I just want you to be obedient, and I want you to give yourself away. Because this is just how I feel like the Lord speaks to me. He goes, I laid my life down.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not convenient for me. And the Lord actually gave me a word. He was like, your inconvenience could actually be me intervening in someone else's life.
Yeah.
And I need you just to be obedient. Like, going back to setting ourselves, I need you just to let go of whatever you think's going to happen and let me move.
Yeah.
And so to be generous, like, because our life is not our own. Once you lay it down on the altar, it's no longer your own. And the Lord has free reign, and he will live it better if you just let him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, just to see him show up and move the way he did, it was like, okay, Lord, you're right. This life's not my own. I'm going to be generous with not only the time, but also the provisions you've given me, because you exceed abundantly more than I may ever ask or think. So if my hands are open to receive, that's how open they should be to pour out. Because if I'm pouring out, you're going to continue to pour into me. So,
you know, the Bible tells us that generosity begins where? At home. If we can't share with the ones that we love, that's right there with us, then you're missing the whole point of generosity and giving.
Actually, there was one time the Lord gave me a word. It was like when I started becoming on fire for the Lord. I was so zealous. I'd stay up to like 4 a.m. just reading and listening and everything. And I was still living at my grandparents. And I was like, Lord, I want to go to the nations. And the Lord so gently said, how can I send you to the nations if you don't know if the ones under this roof that you share are even saved? And so I stayed up till Papaw got up. He's saved, but I stayed up till Papaw got up, and I just poured myself out. I was like, Papaw, you know how I want to go and, you know, spread the good news? He's like, yeah. I said, well, the Lord told me that I needed to make sure the ones I live with are right. And we just sat there and cried and everything. But it really is, you know, I feel like it could be I know it's not dependent on what our family looks like, but it is a witness to people too. If we are kind to them, you know, they see that. And if we're not, we can look like hypocrites. And I know I've looked like a hypocrite before. But the Lord's still working on me, and I'm so thankful for that.
And, you know, I said generosity begins at home. It mainly has to begin in your heart.
Yes.
It has to start there first. If you don't love people, if you don't care about people, if you're a self-centered person, generosity is not there.
Yeah.
You have to start it in your mind and in your heart.
Because people can use giving for manipulation.
That's it.
And it happens all the time.
Yep.
If you're giving but you don't want to give in your heart, you just have a different motivation with
it. Exactly.
Right. It's almost like it just cancels it out, because I believe that's what the Bible talks about with cheerful giving, not resentful giving.
That's right.
You know, and that can even be so true at home with, you know, if you're a mom or a dad, you know, and you have a husband or a wife and children, like, you can resentfully give to them.
That's right.
With a selfish attitude or a resentful attitude, you know. And I think that just goes with having your heart right, first with the Lord, but with each other.
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
With one another. And I think that can be such a destroyer in families. But the power of a cheerful heart and cheerful giving.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's what it is. I was talking to somebody, because the Lord has just been teaching me this, that when something starts to feel like a burden, we really need to pray about it.
Amen.
We need to pray, like, why is this starting to feel like a burden? And the Lord wants us to find joy in, became a normal thing, I feel like, in our culture to complain about our responsibilities. And especially even at home, because there's such an attack on the home and the family and the marriage, the children. And it's so easy to get into complaining and being thinking that things are a burden, but then it will eventually make the people in your life or your family feel like a burden,
right?
You know, and that's never the case, because we're not a if anybody should be a burden, we should be a burden to the Lord. And
amen.
He counted us valuable enough to sacrifice and lay his life down for us.
That's right.
And so that's what we can do for each other. And I've just seen such a difference. You know, I've not arrived at this. I'm still learning every single day, and I have to crucify that flesh, that sinful nature to want to think of things as a burden.
Right.
But when the Holy Spirit gets it, I let him in, and I realize that this is a privilege.
Yes.
Like, it reminds me of what Aaron was saying. The Lord was like, it's a privilege for you to get to clean my house or vacuum my house. And he's reminded me of that before, and I pray I continue to think on that, and not just with the cleaning, but, you know, with the letting somebody else eat first while I watch the baby, you know,
right.
Or doing this or doing that.
Like, amen.
It's just, these are things that I think young people probably don't always think about
that's right.
how much of yourself, like when you become one
uh-huh.
with your spouse, it's not about you anymore.
That's right.
Like we have to both lay each other down, mm-hmm. or lay each other down, lay ourselves yeah. down for each other. Sorry.
Okay.
Wrong wording there. Lay ourselves down.
Yes.
And when that happens, you know, and I think when you do have kids, it can kind of be a motivation for you.
Right.
Because when your mindset, and I might get emotional thinking about this, but is to see chains broken in your family.
Amen.
And to see generational cycles broken.
Praise
that
God.
Can be the thing that keeps you, when you fall, get back up.
Amen.
Get back up and think about, I want better for this bloodline, this generation. I want these things to start to shift and to grow towards God glorifying. You
yeah.
know? And so this ties into all of that.
You know,
the generosity.
I don't know if he's getting ready to go to break, but one of the things that God has really been dealing with me on in the last year is, you know, me and Kathy always share our workload at home. And but one thing I've caught myself doing is at home here in this last year is what you said about being selfish. As I go through the house now, I look at what little things can be done. What little things can I pick up? It's because I love her. I don't want her to have to do it.
Yeah.
I love her, and I don't want her to have to worry about little things and picking up this or picking up that. It's not her job or my job. It's our job. And if I'm there first, then it's my job.
Yeah.
And so I try to make, like, if we both get up out of bed and we're getting ready of a morning, if I get through first and I come in there and the bed's not made, guess who makes the bed? If I go to the kitchen and the coffee's not made, guess who makes the coffee? If the dishes need to be taken out, if the laundry needs to be done, whatever it is, I find myself finding more joy. And sometimes now the old man wants to rise up and say, I don't want to do this today. And I have to crucify the flesh and say, you know what? I'm going to do it because I love her, mm-hmm. and I don't want her to have to do it, you know?
Right.
And I think when we live our lives like that, that's showing generosity.
Mm-hmm.
That's showing love. That's showing kindness. That's showing everything that we need. If we can't show love first,
right? Yeah.
Then all the rest doesn't matter.
It's what it says. Amen.
Well, the important thing is, what time are you coming over, Rick?
well, brother, if you're cooking.
Hey, see, no. We give back to one another.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
still
kidding.
From my
I am
but
too,
you know,
brother.
The thing I hope that goes away, I don't know if it will ever stop trying to rise up, but that part of, like, the love chapter that's talking about doesn't keep record of right and wrong.
Right, right.
I hate when that tries to rise back up because it's so, like, the flesh wants to be like, well, like, if there's any tension, like, well, I did this.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, I did this. No, I did this. You know, and that can become such a, it just tries to ruin everything. It can ruin if you've tried to do something nice for
and
someone.
Then bring it up the past. Okay, we done argued about that and got that settled. And now we're bringing it up again.
That's in the past.
Yeah,
you know,
that's in the past.
But this is real talk. And, you know, I thank the Lord that he cares about these things.
Yes.
If we think that these things don't matter, they do. Because we can read 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians, right? The love chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to promote the Lion King. However, okay, when the monkey smacks the lion, and the lion gets upset, he says, the monkey tells him, hey, Musa, it's in the past.
It's in the past.
You can't do nothing about it now. I done hit you.
It's over. Get over
it's
it.
Okay. I think Aaron is quoted Lion King too.
Yeah, all the time.
I can't remember which part.
Quoted another one other day for Kaylee. You got a friend.
I figured you'd like
that. Toy Story, like, yeah.
He was looking for someone to laugh, so he's like, okay, Kaylee, that one was
me. Yeah, at least I got you, Kaylee.
The Lord can use some stuff, because I was singing, we're all in this.
Okay, but Aaron does that too.
I've done that like two or three times during sermons. But yeah, just find a need, and you may sit there and say, look, I don't have any money right now. It's okay. like they said, time, generosity, give something.
Yes.
You know, the resources that God has given you, be generous with them. And, you know, I want to be known. I want to be known as I want to be known as a person that's generous, and I want to be known as a part of a ministry that's generous.
Yes.
Amen. In a lot of different ways. And so it's there. The opportunities are there. The opportunities to give time, resources. Yes, sometimes that's money, but I mean, I pray for the day I still get to give away a car. Or we see that single mom struggling, and we can just say, "Hey, men of God, let's get together. We're going to do this."
Amen.
Or, you know, we are we got a young lady here at the ministry that we have been seeing God do some awesome things, and I know God's doing some amazing things in her life. And I'm going to announce it this Sunday, but I think me and Heather's decided to, what we're going to do is do like a bring a, she's going to have a little baby boy in just about 8 weeks or so. And we're going to do on August 24th. So we're going to have 2 full weeks to get prepared for it. On August 24th, it's going to be bring a present to church day. And so I'm going to ask every family in the church to either bring a diaper or a gift for our little baby boy. And we're going to bless this young lady, and we're going to let her feel the love of Christ and feel the love of the body. Mm-hmm. And so August 24th, I think that's how me and Heather decided the best. We just want to do it that way and get the whole church to love on them. So August 24th is we're going to have a bring a baby boy gift to the church. And we're going to bless this young lady as she is growing in Christ, and the Lord's doing some awesome things. And I've seen the Lord move in her life in tremendous ways. And I want to make sure she feels the blessing of the Lord and the blessing of the body of Christ. And she has everything necessary for this baby when it comes into the world. Because as I know, I mean, I'll give this testimony. We will go to break real fast. But whenever we got Ivy, for most of y'all know the story, we adopted we had the first three we were going to adopt, just moving to the house. We only had them a month. And then we get that call on a Sunday. It was a Friday, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. It's 12 o'clock p.m. I mean, it was at lunch, almost on the dot, because I was in town with the dump trailer, going to the dump, and I was going to go to the dump and then eat lunch. And so I'm on the way to the dump, and I get that call at 12. It was technically, I'll be very precise, 11:59. I get the call and say, "Do you want a baby?" And I said, "Yes, but I need to tell my wife first, we're getting a baby." And so I call Heather at the bank, and I'm like, "We're getting a baby." She's like, "What?" "We're getting a baby. Like, they have a baby sister. We get the baby." And she goes, "Do I need to leave now?" Like, she didn't even think about it. It was never even a conversation. Like, it was literally like, "Do I need to leave now and go pick her up?"
Yeah.
And so it turned out she didn't have to leave till like she left after work. And we literally, I mean, we joke about this sometimes, but we literally got her on the side of the road. Like in the middle of an alley in downtown Louisville. My wife, my mom, and my sister went and picked her up because I was busting tail.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, we had no idea a baby was in there.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people have 9 months to prepare for a baby. We had like 9 hours.
Wow.
Not even that.
Yeah.
Because the baby was home by 7 or 7:30 that night. And so we had like 7 hours to get ready for this baby. And I'm not going to lie, I had people dropping by the house left and right. I had people helping us with this. I had a person go and help us get this car seat. I had another one come and help me get I had a person show up with a bassinet. I had a person show up with clothes. I had a person show up with the diapers. And it was just coming from every single place.
That's so
That's
awesome.
The body of Christ.
Yeah.
And then Amen. They threw us a baby shower like the next week.
Yeah.
And that's the body.
Yeah.
And we have to be that kind of body. We
Amen.
Are here together. And I just cling to Proverbs that he who gives freely shall be rich, and he who holds on to what he should give shall be in want.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the promise of the Lord right there. And so, we're not in a share-a-thon, so we're not trying to get your money right now. We're trying to stir
but
up generosity.
But if you want to give, give
that's,
to Box
that's
2
the
Radio.
End of, that's at the end of September. We'll be doing this again. No, it is. The needs are there, and people are hurting. And the worst thing we could ever do, and this is what the Holy Spirit hit me on, is close up. The more you hold on, the more death comes.
Mm-hmm.
Let go. Let go in the name of Jesus, because you got that single mom that needs some help right next door.
That's it.
Mm.
You got that. You got those elderly people that you think's doing okay, but yet you go to their fridge and they barely have any food.
Yes.
Mm.
There's needs around you, my friend. They are Amen. Needs around you. And this is what I would challenge you to do today. another homework assignment. Kaylee likes the homework assignments. another homework assignment. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to the need around you that he has given you the ability to meet. Now, that's significant. Ask him to open the eyes of the need around you that he has given you the ability to meet. And it may be a small need, but don't despise small beginnings. It could be a very small need. Mm-hmm. It could be just something as simple as needing a double cheeseburger for some, I don't know, $2 or $3. Like, it could be something significantly small. But here's what I really want to tell you. And this is not like you send me $11.11 according to Isaiah 11:11, you're going to be blessed. I'm not talking about that nonsense. That's manipulation. A lot of time that's witchcraft. I'm not interested in that garbage.
All right.
But what I am telling you is if he can trust you with the small thing in your hand, he can put the big thing in your hand.
Yes, he
and he's sometimes letting you say, if I give you a little, what are you going to do with that little?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Kaylee said, before I can give you the nations, I got to give you your living room.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What are you going to do in the living room? What are you going to do in your neighborhood? What are you going to do in your local school? What are you going to do in your local community? Before you pack up and go to Africa, what are you doing across the street?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's he's trusting you with the small before he can trust you with the large. And so when you ask about this, don't be surprised when it's a very small need. It's probably not going to be a car today. It probably is more likely a double cheeseburger or just going to rake grass up somebody's yard or help an older lady next door mow their yard. Like, it's something that you have the ability to meet today.
Amen. But what I've noticed a lot is those things are often the things we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because they're not glamorous.
Because it takes away from yourself.
Yeah.
And they're often not seen.
Right. Yep.
But if he can start trusting you with those, if he can trust you with your neighbor, he can trust you with Africa.
Yes.
If he can trust you with your grandma and grandpa, then he can trust you with India. But before you're sent to India, Australia, Africa, China, Puerto Rico, or whatever, what are you doing with those people around you? Mm.
It's those people around you that prepare you. Like, what an honor and a blessing at the same time to be able to be edified and sharpened by people you know, instead of just getting thrown out there and beat over the head, you know. Like, people who are you love and you know they love you, and they're able to give you that correction or just whatever. Like, what better way to be able to, you know, share and just be sifted and shaped so that they can, like, your community is what prepares you to be able to go out. Like, mm-hmm. the things, like, whether you realize it or not, the things you walk through here are preparing you for wherever you're going to go, because, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that we walk through things and then later on meet someone who needs what we've walked through. And to be able to have a community to help walk through, or to just be able to, you know, get insight from other people, that is what prepares you. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read our first trivia question. And remember your homework, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit this weekend to guide you in a need that you can meet. Wednesday question number one, sponsored by Farm Bureau in Litchfield, Kentucky. When Christ returns, where will those who are saved meet Christ? When Christ returns, where will those who are saved? Oh, we did that yesterday.
I was getting ready to say, I was trying to call in, but
Miss Elizabeth got that right. Yeah. I didn't write it down. I'm sorry, Miss Elizabeth. I was like,
oh, let me recall, because if that one didn't get answered, I know that one.
Hey, at least we didn't ask how long the fire was.
Okay, here we go. Let's try another one. In order to grow in Christ, Peter lists faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, goodness, kindness, and charity. What is missing in that list? This is a good one. I'm going to read it one more time. In order to grow in Christ, Peter lists faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, kindness, and charity. What is missing in that list? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. Now, we've got a lot of answers swirling. We have a lot of things. Now, this is the little tricky part, okay? All right, so I'm going to read it again. Everybody's like, I'm in 2 Peter. That's where we're at, okay? In order to grow in Christ, Peter lists faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, kindness, and charity. What is missing in that list? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, kindness, and charity.
Right.
Amen.
On time.
All right, Miss Hannah, take us off in the Kingdom Corner.
Okay. I'm sad we're not getting to Mark, but it's okay. The Lord had other plans. Okay, let me get over here. I am in, look here, 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, like we talked about earlier. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Hmm. And so there's so much here, but I liked one of the commentaries that I read on this just spoke into the part about the betrothing, how Paul is saying, I feel a divine jealousy for you since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. And in this it's just a little passage here. A man's wife is a spouse to him from the Lord. Strictly speaking, it is used of the act of the father who gives his daughter in marriage, and this rather than the claim to act as the friend of the bridegroom. So it's almost like, you know, we know as Paul as a father. Mm-hmm. And even though we're not all, you know, truly, you know, bride, we're not all a bride. There's men and women included in as the bride of Christ. We're a whole body. But as fathers, spiritual fathers, that is the task that they're given, is to present, to give over what the task that God's given them,
right,
even though they are a part of the bride of Christ too. Mm-hmm. But to do what God's called them to do, to present the body of Christ in a way that is pure and holy and acceptable.
That's right.
And that doesn't mean that it's all resting on their shoulders, because it's resting on Jesus' shoulders.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because we are in him, we abide in him. But I loved that, just the thinking about the role of leaders, the apostles, spiritual fathers, and mm-hmm. how much of a blessing and an honor that is. Because if you think about true fathers who are giving away their daughters in marriage, I mean, that is a special, it's a high calling, it's a hard thing. It's a, you know, there's emotions attached with that. Your heart is attached with giving your daughter away,
right,
in marriage. But how beautiful is that too, that means they were never yours.
That's
like,
right.
They were never yours to hold on to.
That's right.
Your true daughters out there are never yours to hold on to. The Lord wants you to watch over them, just like a shepherd watches mm-hmm. over the sheep. Mm-hmm. Protect them, just as the shepherd should protect their sheep. But be eager and confident as you hand them over, that you've done all you can do mm-hmm. to prepare them to join together with. I feel the Holy Spirit just, it's just so beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful. And if we do it God's way, then we can,
yes,
do what Paul says here, to present you to one husband as a pure virgin to Christ, mm-hmm. as that virgin that's ready, that has the oil, that has been equipped, has been encouraged, has been lifted up, has been taught in the right way, you know, and I just love that. But then it goes into the warning, because part of that, you know, I'm so thankful that the best shepherds and teachers and fathers are going to warn you of what you need to be warned about. They're not going to withhold the truth. They're not just going to water down the gospel. But he's warning. He's saying, if anyone preaches another gospel and proclaims another Jesus, then you need to watch out for this, basically, is what he's saying. And, I mean, I just think about how much this is happening right now in the body of Christ. How much we see just such deception,
yeah,
such confusion. And we need, you know, it doesn't only have to be fathers. Any of us can share this word with one another to help each other not to stumble, you know. But, I mean, he's talking to the Corinthian church. He's talking to the church here. So if the church is being this deceived, then let's look at the world. I mean, there's people, you know, there's souls that need to be saved. But the enemy wants to get us caught up in these things to keep us from reaching the ones who need the Lord. And that's all he can do is try to distract us and get us caught up in all these things. And so that's the goal, is so that we will be pure and ready and a pure virgin to Christ. But if we're falling into these other gospels and these other spirits and these other doctrines, it's going to end up leading us into idolatry. And and what is that? That's, you know, that is a adultery. That's not being pure unto the Lord.
Mixed salts, no flavor. Mm.
Exactly. It's a mixture that's not pleasing to the Lord. And so that can be many things. I mean, that can be sloppy grace.
Yep.
That can be, you know, mixing in New Age with the gospel.
And then you're perverting the presentation of the gospel.
Exactly.
And that's running what I was the witness thinking. Yeah,
For to others. Not representing Jesus. And then what I think is one of the biggest dangers, and maybe this can be the takeaway from this, is we want to be pure virgins unto Christ so that we can reflect the true Christ to others.
Yes.
So this is saying beware of, you know, the spirits, the ones who will come to preach another gospel or other people. But it's so that we may reflect the true gospel, because if the church is not reflecting the true Christ, then we're actually leading the world astray.
Right.
We're leading all the ones that we were called to minister to. We're leading them astray, even unknowingly sometimes, when we aren't believing and we're not keeping ourselves pure unto the Lord. And we're living worldly and not living like the Lord's called us to live. They're going to think that that's the normal. And that's what it is to be a follower of Christ.
And that's where we have to be careful. Because we can be on the right path and living right, and then the enemy sends somebody into your life to say, well, you don't have to live that close, or you don't have to live like this, or you don't have to do that. And the next thing you know, that if you don't rebuke that and get away from that, the next thing you know, you'll start allowing things into your life that is not of God. Or what happens is, some churches will go through a ministerial change. And you had a minister who was preaching the word of God, who was staying on the truth, who was teaching right, who was preaching right and counseling right. Then you got a guy who comes in who is charismatic, but he's not teaching the word. And it's being perverted. And a church has to be aware of that and cautious of that, because that can destroy a whole church body, because the pastor's now saying, well, you know, those things were just for back in the old days. Those things are permissible. We just got too churchy. You know, I do believe there is, like we've talked about many times, there's religiosity. But I'm not talking about religiosity. There's things that's plain in the Word of God you just don't do. And there's things that the Holy Ghost speaks to our hearts that we're not supposed to do, even though it may not be in the Word of God.
It may be permissible, but is it profitable?
There you go.
He'll speak that to us. I've lived this.
Yeah, me too.
Like, when I went to college, you know, I'm so thankful for college. I love it. I loved it. But I was being preached another gospel.
Yeah.
And I was being tempted and drawn to these other doctrines and these other mindsets. And if it was not for the Holy Spirit and the prayers of people who loved me, I don't know where I would be right now, seriously. And I mean, thank God for the word that I had in me too.
Yes.
That kept me.
Yeah, that seed is already there.
But even in the times that I did fall and I ended up stumbling into some worldly mindsets along the way, and this is at a Christian, I mean, it's everywhere. You don't think that if your child is at a Christian labeled college or even school, that there's not going to be these temptations. We still need to pray just as hard for those that are in Christian circles as in public circles.
Amen.
But I'm just so thankful that the Lord kept me and that he has, you know, confirmed his word to me, because I hurt my witness through different times. And people told me, people warned me, but it had to take me learning it for myself.
Yes. Right?
I had to know it for myself, and I did know it. But it had to take me experiencing that mm-hmm. and seeing, you know, and learning the hard way, really. And I wish that I would have listened to some people who warned me, like, this will hurt your witness.
Or yeah.
This is not, you know, even some things that, there's even churches who endorse things like the Enneagram. And actually somebody, and it's just something that's kind of falls under the same banner as New Age with, like,
right.
with like horoscopes. And it's similar to that, but a little bit different. It's packaged in a way that they mix it in with scripture and like
yeah.
spiritual gifts
mm-hmm.
falling into it, and it like tells you your personality or whatever, but it's not biblical. It's not rooted in the Lord.
What are you talking about?
It's rooted in
the world. Try to lay that out, what you just kind of give a definition of what that is.
So basically it's like a, like, you know how you can, there's spiritual gifts laid out
right.
in the Bible, and you can take spiritual gifts tests to see which ones that you are more evident in your life.
Yes.
And that is completely okay. But
yes.
but certain things like the Enneagram, it's not rooted in the Bible at all, but in some circles.
What is it? What is the Enneagram?
The Enneagram. It's basically like a personality
okay.
test.
So it's not like the you know, the sanguine, the phlegmatic, the melancholy, and the, what's the other one? Cleric. You're not talking about those, right?
I don't think so.
I don't
know what that is.
Those are four personal traits that everybody has.
Oh, gotcha. No, they're nothing.
And,
it's none of that. It's like a nine-number scale.
Mm-hmm.
There's nine numbers. And basically, it's similar to some of the things where, if you go back to the start of it, it was ancient, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's ancient, and it's like a circle with the
gotcha.
Different numbers. And someone received this revelation, if you look, I didn't know this until I looked into it, but from like an angel, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But I don't believe it was a angel sent from the Lord.
Right.
But it's packaged in a way that seems right and seems good.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of Christian circles, podcast ministers, different places, they incorporate this with biblical teaching.
Wow.
They mix it in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it seems right. And I was starting to really get into this and believe and really take it in as my identity, because you find what number you are.
Uh-huh.
And it's supposed to help you. And the Lord really helped unpack this. And actually, one speaker that I really enjoy listening to, Jackie Hill Perry, she publicly repented for, she had not endorsed it, but she was kind of in the same boat. Like, she had to figure out what it was rooted in.
Right.
And she had spoken something about it publicly to the audience that she ministers to. And she publicly came and repented and let her listening audience know what she had researched in it.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord had already shown me before she ever mentioned that.
Right.
But it was just, it was refreshing to hear somebody else publicly come out, expose
it.
That,
mm-hmm.
acknowledge it, because that's just one example, but there's several like New Age type things
yeah.
that are getting mixed in with the church.
That's
especially
right.
I feel like especially the charismatic
movement.
Mm-hmm. movement. But all that to say, you know, the Lord showed me that I was putting more of my trust in that than I was in him.
Yes.
Right?
Because I was seeking so hard to learn more about who I am, and forgetting what I know, that the only way, like, I have to die.
Amen.
So I can learn more about
daily.
Who he is. And it's just this opposite gospel that is being preached as Jesus, but it's not. And I believe that's what the scripture is talking about. And
mm-hmm.
We have to keep bringing light to it, because there's young people that are very, I mean, think about the people who have no word in them. Think about
yeah.
the people who are just a fresh canvas.
So easily
swayed, because they didn't have the grounding of coming to children's church and growing up and, you know, parents teaching them the Bible. if it affects even the kids who grew up in church, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to affect. And so that's why we just need to keep preaching the word.
Mm-hmm. Keep presenting the gospel. Yeah.
And the more that we do, there's going to be people raise up like Jackie Hill Perry to expose it on bigger platforms, and more people become aware of the truth, you know.
Yeah.
And so we can fight against it. We just got to get it out there.
Yeah.
All right, well, we do have an answer for that other trivia question. It is patience. 2 Peter 1:6 was the one missing from that list. 2 Peter chapter 1 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Love that chapter. And Miss Sierra Higdon got it correct, so congratulations, Miss Sierra. All right, second trivia question. We got to go to break a couple minutes over. What was the land of Bashan also called? What was the land of Bashan also called? 270-257-2689. We will be right back.
At the church.
Nope. If they ain't talking Jesus,
I'm out.
I don't want to hear it.
I will walk.
But
away.
The thing is, they do talk Jesus, but they talk Jesus and that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. It's just got to be everything. The Bible. Anything outside the Bible, I don't want to.
All right, that was House of the Lord. We are excited for all that the Lord has done this past week and getting ready to do this weekend. Mm-hmm. As always, we love to be encouraging and praying for those who are going to be served in the capacity of teaching, whether that's behind the pulpit, Sunday school, whatever capacity that is this weekend. We pray for you, and we're just believing God to use you in mighty ways. For the worship teams, that Sunday morning is not the first time that you lift up praise unto God, but it comes from an overflow of your week, that you are in the presence in the secret place with the Lord, praying, seeking his face, really asking the anointing of the Lord to be upon you as you lead people into worship in Jesus' mighty name. Again, our message of this morning, the scripture that the Lord gave me, and just for somebody's homework, Proverbs 11:24-25, one gives freely yet grows all the richer, another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters, he'll himself be watered. And as Andrew Murray said, the world asks, what does a man own? Christ asks, how does he use it? In Jesus' mighty name, this weekend, ask the Lord to open your eyes to a need around you that you are able to meet, and meet that need.
Amen.
All for the glory of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then as Miss Hannah was saying, preachers, preach the word. Continue to preach the word. Stay faithful to the word, even if it's not popular. If they cancel you, that's fine. Just get off social media and you don't care what they say.
Amen.
Just you don't hear it, so you don't see it, you don't care. I mean, I guess they could say whatever they want about me at this point. I'm not going to know. I don't care. And so because you can't cancel, it's not about being canceled. It's about being called. And if you're called, you got to walk faithfully, because you are going to be held responsibly. I mean, you are going to be held responsible for the words you say, because more and more every single year, I learn this more and more, your words have weight.
Yes. Amen. Yeah,
they have extreme weight. And so be cautious of that, and let the weightiness of that hit you. Mm-hmm. If it don't make me nervous to speak in front of people. Like, at this point in my life, you just tell me to speak anywhere and I'll speak. I don't care. Like, it doesn't bother me. What right. still makes me nervous is handling the word of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, like, getting on a microphone, that doesn't bother me. Do that anywhere or in front of people. But it should be weighty every time you're handling the word.
Yes.
Amen.
It should be weighty to handle the word of God. And so many times before I go to the pulpit, be like, Lord, let this be you and not me. Because I won't feed them, but you amen. Will. Mm-hmm. Feed your people this morning. So, amen.
Amen.
Well, Brother Rick, Kaylee, either one of y'all come with anything on your hearts this morning?
Did you come packing some seeds?
Well, since you said seeds, and we were talking about, you know, letting go and everything. There was one time, I made a doodle for it. There was one time I think Pastor was preaching, and it was basically the same thing. I feel I love how the Lord like will recycle things, mm-hmm. like he like moving patterns and but he showed me in this vision, it was me like holding on to these seeds, and your seeds are like your time, your money, whatever it is, your desires, your intentions, and I was holding on to them so tight, and he's like, I could just see Jesus's hand with the, you know, the nail scar or whatever, and he said, just hand them to me. And I dropped the seeds in his hand, and they fell through
his hole,
and then they fell into the ground, and they created a huge harvest. So I feel like the word of the Lord is, whatever you're holding on to, it's only going to stay like that. But when you release it to the Lord, he brings more out of it. Mm-hmm. Like those, like even like being vulnerable in the sense of sometimes we don't share in our vulnerabilities, and we don't realize that when we don't share in the things we're going through sometimes, it's, we're the only, like with the Lord, we're the only ones getting healed. But when we open up and we express and we share in our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses and everything, there's other people who can receive from that and be like, you know what? Kaylee's walking through that, and the Lord is walking her through it, and he's healing, he's restoring, he's redeeming. He can do the same thing for me. So I feel like with all that being said, like we need to let go and to let God. Like, I know that's so cliche, but it's so true. It's the truth that we just need to let go, because whenever we hold on to the reins, you know, we restrict God from leading us. And mm-hmm. we're always like, Lord, we want you to lead. But as soon as he says, take a step, we're like, I thought it would go this way, because this way seems like it would be the easier route. And he's like, well, if you would come up to my perspective, if you would have your thoughts on higher things like I do, you'd see it's not just about you, but instead I have you going here. Like, Jesus didn't go somewhere just like point A, point B. When he went, he would always see a need, and he would always just, you know, he made time. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's just another word to make time and to just let go and let the Lord mm-hmm. lead, because when you let him lead, every, like, it comes back better than you could ever expect.
That's
so
true.
To let go and to just trust him with all things, not just your money, not just your time, but everything.
Use your seed to meet the need.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
Like what Miss Karen said, the more that we pray, the more the needs are gonna
yes.
arise and
that's right.
be clear. They're going to come to, but what you were saying about the vulnerability, confess, I like King James Version on this verse, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed.
That's right. Yep. One of the things that's, I guess, been on my heart the last couple of weeks, and this scripture keeps coming back to me, is Philippians 4:13.
Mm.
Because when you go through the rest of the chapter, it explains why. Everybody wants to stick through this one part, and it's preached so many times, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so many people think, oh, man, it's great. Yeah, I can just do anything. I can do all things, you know. And they get so excited, and they're you know, because that's a powerful message right there. But what they don't understand is when Paul gets down here starting in 16, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Wait a minute. Paul's saying I can do all things through Christ Jesus, but I'm going through affliction.
Hmm.
Most people miss that part. You mean I said I could do all things, you know, everything's going good right now. I can do all things. And Paul's saying, no, in my afflictions. And then he goes on to say, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, can you imagine? He's in affliction. He's going through things. He's being jailed. He's going through things. And there's only one church out of all that he set up that communicated with him. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full and have received of, and I can't pronounce that name, Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an order of sweet smell and sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And so then it goes on to say, my God shall supply all your need. But what gets me is when he said, in my affliction. Mm-hmm. So what it's saying there is, I can do all things through Christ. And it doesn't matter how bad that it's getting. It doesn't matter how hot things are getting, how heavy things are given, what I've lost, a personal loss, or whether I've lost a family member, or whether I've lost my business, or whether I've lost whatever I'm going through. It doesn't matter if I'm going through persecution. It doesn't matter all of that thing. He's saying, because I can make it through here, because Christ is going to strengthen me. And uh-huh. So many times we forget that. Because every time somebody says something other about us, we lose heart.
Yeah.
Oh, man, somebody said something other about us. It's all, you know, it's not very good. Listen, you can make it through that. And you can quit thinking about that. All you have to do is pray about it and get a hold of the Lord and mm-hmm. have an encounter with God. And he can help you get through those things.
I had something to add to that. I think this verse is so used by unbelievers too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, the verse is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Uh-huh.
If you're not abiding in Christ, then it's not Christ who's strengthening you.
No.
And no, he's definitely not going to strengthen. When I say that, I mean, he is interceding for you.
Yes.
But if you have no relationship with Christ, you're living, your father is the devil, and you're thinking that Christ is going to strengthen you to do sin, that's a heresy. Like, that is another gospel being preached, because this word is weighty. And just as they, I don't know, I just feel the need to address this, because it's so misused. Just it as is. They drank communion and tried to take part, and they were drinking death into themselves, I believe when the word is mishandled and misused, it's bringing judgment that people don't realize it's bringing judgment. Yeah.
Yes.
And the Lord will never strengthen anybody to sin.
Nope.
So if you're using that verse to say, I can do all things through Christ, and it's something that is sinful, far be it. Let that be accursed. Amen. Let that be stopped in Jesus' name.
Yeah, that's not right.
Because this verse is used. It's used for, I mean, I see it all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for what the true meaning of it is. Uh-huh. Not that we can just do whatever we want.
No.
And not that we can just fulfill all of our own sinful desires, but so that those who are going through the fire, they shall not be burned.
They shall not be
those
burned.
Those who are being shipwrecked and in prison and all
stoned. And
even if you're not physically going through these things, think about the prayer warriors and the warriors for Christ that are physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever you're going through.
Right.
You can do what God has told you to do through him, because it's him who strengthens you.
Amen.
He has strengthened the ones out there, the moms who feel like they're about ready to give up. He has strengthened you for the task.
Mm-hmm.
He has given, those are his children, and he has given them to you to steward, and you have the strength through him to raise them in the glory of God.
Amen.
And for his glory. And the ones who feel like they're on their last, maybe teachers out there, maybe even students, like, who you're walking with the Lord and you feel like you're just ready to, you're done with school. He will give you strength to walk through what you're walking through, to be the best possible student for the glory of God, to reach the ones around you, and to go through the fire and the trial that you're going through and not be burned, just like the Hebrew boys.
Amen.
And I think we ignore verses like this sometimes because they are so overused. Like, I don't even want to say overused, but they're just so popular.
So popular.
But there's power in them, and we shouldn't ignore them. We just need to confront the misuse of them and then really focus on the meat.
Get
and
past the shallowness of it,
yes,
too.
Yes.
So often, so often we get off track on every... There's so many scriptures that's taken out... So many scriptures that's taken out of context.
Yes.
That people are trying to manipulate it to meet what they're doing so it doesn't look like they're sinning.
It loses its saltiness.
To justify what they're doing. And that's not what God wants us to do. If you read it and it hurts, you better quit doing it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know, if he reveals to you in a scripture that what you're doing is wrong, then yeah, best stop.
I mean, this might sound harsh, but like, I believe we're getting to the point where the Lord, there's holiness. Like, there's a call to holiness.
Amen.
And there's a call to, just like Aaron said, tremble and take his word seriously and view it for how weighty it is. Like, and Kaylee probably knows what I'm talking about from just our generation, but there's times on social media that I have seen a sinful picture with a scripture as the caption.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
A picture that should not be being shared with a scripture as the what they're posting with it. You can't choose ye this day.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
We have to choose ye this day who we're going to serve. We cannot have two masters.
No.
And we cannot, you know, use the Lord to try to cover up. It's only going to expose. That's the thing. It's never going to cover up our sin. The Lord only exposes because he wants us to be set free.
Amen.
From that. And there's no condemnation. I mean, there's not condemnation. The Lord, he's faithful to completely set free that person.
Yes.
And transform their life. So this is not a condemning talk, but it's just a call, especially to the church. We shouldn't be acting like the world.
Right.
If we're doing, if anybody that's listening right now, or if any of us here are doing any of this and trying to mix the world with the word, then we need to get right. Because we're called for such a time as this to be the pure reflection of Jesus and to handle his word rightly.
And like you said, the Lord gave me a word for what I'm getting ready to say. Like you said, we're not condemning.
No.
No. The Lord was like, it's about heart posture, about when you go about talking about different things. He says, I didn't call you to condemn. I called you to expose sin so that I can cleanse.
Yes.
So you don't know something, you don't know you're supposed to clean something if you don't call it out for what it is. You don't know if something's dark until you expose it with the light. And it's not that, you know, we say things to condemn. It's like, no, actually, we want you whole and we want to point you back to him. And, you know, that should be your heart posture. Now, if that's not your heart posture, then you're probably operating out of a different spirit.
Yes.
And so,
and I think the biggest theme, and thank you for chiming in, the world and the word. The world and the word don't mix. Love that. I see unbelievers co-opting scripture all the time. Yes, holiness. Pastor Darren, thank you for chiming in there. And it's so true. But I think the takeaway for the unbeliever is that we don't want to see them drink the cup of judgment unto themselves, like misusing the Lord's Supper. Mistaking that and seeing, you know, they don't even realize what they're doing. To bring education to what is communion,
knowledge, light,
knowledge light and light. Because if they know that what they're trying to take part of is the very thing that is bringing judgment to them, then maybe they'll wake up and really think about it and see the Lord for and the Word for how weighty it is.
Yes,
that's the hope, is that people will see Jesus for who he is, so that they won't try to mix those things together, and that they will choose ye this day who they serve. And I think a lot of it just really is ignorance, because I'm sure a lot of the people who are making these posts, they have no, you know, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So this is no way condemning. Hopefully, if any unbelievers are listening, you hear the heartbeat behind this of this is the word, this is the truth that we're laying out. And we cannot mix them together, because sin has no part with holiness.
Right.
No.
Sin separates us from God's presence. And he wants to invite us to his presence through us letting the blood be applied to our life.
Amen.
And him transforming us. Amen.
Amen.
You know, 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul goes in here, even in things we do, we really need to be looking for a closer walk with the Lord. So he said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edifieth not.
Right.
So in other words, there's a lot of things that we can be out here doing. We can get busy with overworking. We can get busy with a lot of different things. But if we're not making God number one in our life, it's not expedient for me. He's got to be number one.
Amen.
Permissible versus profitable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you can doesn't mean you should. Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's the godly thing that he's called you to do.
yeah, I needed to be, that's what I needed to listen to in my wandering days. So I got it now.
Well, now anybody wants to stick around, Mr. Bjork and Mr. Jason's not able to come with us today because Mr. Miller's first day of school. So we'll be rodeoing all the way till the end of 9 o'clock this morning. So anybody that wants to stick around is welcome to. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to we got time for Bible questions this morning. We got extra 30 minutes this week. You got prayer requests. We love to pray for them. Just anything that the Lord's laid in your heart. One listener was talking about the Lord moving in their life, and I was like, boy, it's the same thing in mine for sure.
Amen.
Talking about just like mumbling and grumbling and complaining about things, and how we have to find joy in the service and joy mm-hmm. in the servanthood and joy in the giving, and that we should do it with a cheerful heart. And I've had to remind myself. Yesterday, I was just like, I was cleaning out the BCA bus, and somebody said, that's a chore. And I said it with first time, I actually probably meant it, really. Whenever you get into a task like that, it's like, it's a joy to serve.
Yes.
And so I had the opportunity to clean the bus, but I also had the opportunity to pray for the kids that will ride the bus.
Amen.
And so we've got to take those opportunities and those moments that God sets up to give instead of being like, ugh. I just got to do this, and I got to do this, and life is horrible. Like, no.
Yeah.
Shift your mindset.
I'll get on my knees and hands with the scrub brush, and I'll keep scrubbing away. And as I scrub, I can pray for the soul, the feet of those kids
Amen.
That sit in that bus, that the glory of God may come upon their life. We can find joy in service. We can find joy in giving.
Uh-huh.
And you, again, it's the word for me today is generosity. That's the word I'm sticking
I like
to today
it. Yeah.
is generosity. And it may just... We are so money prone to think that it's always just money, and it could be your money.
Uh-huh.
I agree, Brother Rick. The Lord don't have 10% of your money. The Lord should have 100% of your
yes.
money.
Yeah.
And if you think of it like that, you would spend your money differently. Trust
yes.
me.
Yeah.
But for some people that money doesn't have a hold on them, there's other things that are more valuable to them than money.
Come Absolutely.
On. That the Lord wants us to give.
Time's the most valuable asset that we have. The only thing that's not irredeemable, well, God can redeem the times. So God can do that, absolutely.
If he also, can, talents and things that like, you can share
yeah,
with people.
Like organists, violinists, saxophonists.
Teaching, but think about that.
Yeah, like, but we're on the organs right now. All right?
Oh my God.
We're on the organ right now, okay? You can hold the teaching thing for a minute.
Okay.
Organists, saxophonists. Flutists, I don't know what they're
but
called.
But you missed it. Somebody who can teach the flute,
yeah,
teach
some,
the
yeah,
organ.
Yeah, someone who can decide.
That's not where you was going. All right, I'm on the organ right now.
Okay, but we need those teachers.
Yeah.
270.
So then when the one organist goes to glory, we got another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The organist, let me stress that. Those who have that gifting, be generous with your time. But no, it is. We can. Pastor Darren says, yes, brother, changing the I get to rather than I have to changes the whole mindset. That is absolutely true.
The Lord gave me a word one time because I was being like, oh, woe is me. And it was basically like instead of being like, woe is me, you can be like, Lord, how are you going to use me? Like, what are you doing in this? Instead like, oh, woe is me. It's like, oh, actually, no, this is edifying me right now and exposing me. So, Lord, help me. So.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes you have to stir up gratitude. You
yes.
gotta stir it up. Like sometimes it doesn't come natural. Sometimes you just gotta stir it up and be like, "All right."
Instead of fake it till you make it, face
stir
it.
Stir it up.
Faith it till
yeah.
you make it.
Yeah, we're not faking it. We're just stirring it.
We're just stirring.
We're just not stirring
deep
the pot. All right, you're stirring it.
Deep wells. Gratitude.
Deep wells. They're here somewhere. all right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back in here. You got Bible questions, 270-257-2689. The Bible's got answers. In Jesus' name, we'll be right back here. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day. Well, I'm getting bullied in here and picked on, but that's okay. All right. Pastor Adams, good to hear from you, my brother. He said he's got a question he is asked often. How do I know my calling? That is a very good question. I think a lot of the callings do center around your giftings. I think God will gift you where he calls you.
Yes.
And I think, too, like, you have spiritual fathers and leaders around you that helps confirm that calling into your life. So I think those are two ways. Look at your giftings and see what God has gifted you in. And, like, for me, my calling is not to be a worship leader, like, 100%. Like, it's not. Well, I mean, like, the singer. I mean, it's probably not my calling. All right. So I think that he's gifted me in areas that is my calling. And I think giftings matter. And I think that spiritual authority will confirm that. Here's what I want to say, though. I think that a lot of times we get wrapped up in the idea of calling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm called to this one thing. I think you're called to serve. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you're called to serve. And I can tell you my calling looks different, like, over the years.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, and I think sometimes we use that phraseology or vocabulary to express some kind of destiny or something like that. I think the destiny is I'm just here to serve Christ, like, whatever capacity. There's some Sunday mornings that I've had to play the drums and preach in the same mornings. There are some Sunday mornings I've played piano and not preached. There are some Sunday mornings that I've just sit there and rain sound and did nothing. Like, I think all those are callings.
Yes.
I think we're called to serve, ultimately, and that's the greatest calling.
This question used to dominate me until the Lord was like, your first call is to be my daughter. Because, you know, the first thing he said would, come follow me. So following him is the first call.
Yeah.
And then to know what it is to be a daughter and a son. Because with that relationship, with that intimacy with the Lord, he will begin to open your eyes, soften your heart, and draw you. It's by the Spirit that draws, and draw you into what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll expose everything.
I think oftentimes the thing that we, like, want so bad, I'm not saying all every time, but sometimes we get our sight focused on one certain calling, and we just want it so bad. We want to be that. But a lot of times that's not the area. And I'm not saying that happens every time, but sometimes it is the right thing, but our heart's just not right.
Yeah,
the Lord wants
posture.
Our heart to get right, and he's got to prepare us to, because I feel like, you know, when you're younger, a lot of times these callings will show up. Like, the signs of your calling, a lot of times when you're younger, will be evident,
obvious,
whether it's something being attacked. That area of your life being attacked, or whether it is an interest, like, oftentimes I do believe that those things, and I feel like we even see that through scripture. I mean, you could see, you know, Jesus being set apart even at a young age, and desiring and going to the temple. And yes, he was Jesus, but he still had to grow up, and he still was an example for us.
Right.
But I do think, yes, the heart, and not putting that calling above your relationship with the Lord,
exactly.
Like Kaylee was saying, because that's the biggest trap, is to be so obsessed with the calling that it becomes an idol.
Because you can strive for it, and the Lord is like, if you're striving for it out instead of having, like, a sonship, then you're doing it for yourself.
And it's not where your affirmation comes from.
Right.
Because we want affirmation, because we just want to please and just make sure that we're, you know, valuable and all these things. But we are already valuable
already
in the kingdom. Even if we don't, even if we don't ever step into that place where we think that we need to step into. And I think it's often the times when you're not seeking it, when it starts to fall into place, when you're seeking the Lord.
Yeah. I would like to change, like, I know the Bible used the word calling, like, you know, giftings and calls about repentance. Paul and Barnabas are called to be missionaries, like, all these kind of things, they're called. But I think I would like to almost use the word send. Like, what am I being sent to?
Right.
Where is God sending me? And I feel like sometimes we just kind of do nothing until we have that sent.
Right.
And so people's like, what's my calling? Well, right now, the bathrooms need cleaned on Sunday morning, so the Lord may be calling you to that.
Right.
And, well, no, I'm talking about microphones and platforms. No, he might call you to the toilet first. Like, he really might. And he might call you to nursery. Like,
yes.
He might call you to go to your neighbor's house once a week and just love them and to disciple them.
Mm-hmm.
The calling is what God's calling you unto. Now, there are people who are called to what we would call vocational type ministry, where that's your life. You're given to full-time ministry. There is that call to that. There's a call to die to the normalcy and to live that vocational life of laying yourself down constantly. There are going to be those called to the nations. There are going to be those called to lives in the bushes and lives in sacrifice and laying it down in Africa or India or China and having to live underground. Like, there is those callings there. But I think those are callings that we're always looking for. But I think those callings, it's fun how it always goes back. Those callings are not usually the first callings.
Yeah.
Right.
The first calling, I love what you said, Kaylee, is calling to Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the call to the prayer closet.
Yes.
It's the call to fasting. It's the call to walk in obedience to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, it's like, for a lot of times when I hear, because Pastor Adam, I get the same question quite a bit. And I'm just like, well, let that develop. But in the meantime, we actively serve.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't wait till you have that burning bush experience to actually do something for the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
And because then what happens is nobody does anything until they get the platform, the microphone.
Stirred up.
Well, I was talking to this with someone the other day, too. Like, don't try to make it happen either.
Right.
Because when we try to make something happen, it's going to fail. Because if we try to jump ahead of the Lord, it's not going to be His timing. We're not going to be ready. But whenever He opens the door and we're already serving, we're already, you know, not just sitting around idle waiting, that's when it falls into place the right way, as it's supposed to. When we're not trying to make it happen, He opens the door. He works it all out.
Yeah. I remember when I was young in ministry. Well, actually, just young in the Lord. Let's just go there. Young in the Lord. I remember I felt like I was called to preach. Now, I really do wish somebody would have been there to say, you're not ready, son. You may be called, but you're not ready to step into that calling yet.
Right.
And before you step into that calling, you need to step into the prayer closet. You need to step into the Word. And you need to be called to maturity, and you got to be called to a lifestyle of provenness and holiness, and you need to be called to servicehood. And I remember, now the Lord naturally did that, because I would end up down I used to love coming and clean the church when I first got born again. I would just go down there and I pray, turn on the music, and I just run that. Now, the good thing about that church is it took about 15 minutes to vacuum the whole service sanctuary compared to this one. It takes about an hour.
It does.
So it's like, it's a big difference. So I enjoyed that small church in the sense of cleaning it. And, you know, there was like 2 toilets, not 8, whatever we have here, 6, 7, 7. I think it's 7.
I don't know
how many toilets we got in the sanctuary. 8, 7,
not
8.
Not in the sanctuary.
Well, not in the sanctuary, but, you know, the lobby. All right. But it was like, back then it was such a joy of mine. But I remember one time, and I think this is one of the things that stirred me up a lot. I did have one preacher who I heard one time say, he said, if you are a man of God that can walk past a piece of trash in the parking lot, you're no true man of God.
Integrity.
If you think if you walk past a piece of trash, say somebody else go get that, they said, you're not serving, you're pretending. And I said, wow. And that marked me. I heard it when I was about 18 or 19, and that's marked me ever since, to almost an extreme that I can't walk past a piece of trash, even out in public. I mean, I don't care if I'm on a sidewalk. No, if I see trash, I got to pick it up.
Yeah.
And so it's in me to serve in that capacity because I don't want to be a pretender. I want to be a servant. But I remember one time when I was really young, I was just like, when I was traveling a lot, and what I was confessing yesterday about the arrogance and the big head and think I was the next superstar and I was going to be the next great preacher and boy, I was going to end up on TBN and all these kind of things. I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was ready. Like that was my future. And I remember I found this great joy in this church that I was serving at. And I was like, you know, this bathroom needs remodeled. It's a small bathroom. It's just one toilet, one little sink. I mean, you could barely turn around in it. So it took no time. And I remember I just went and bought the new toilet and I bought the new floor and I bought all this stuff, and I found joy in doing that. I found great joy in serving and loving. I think it was the Lord's way of humbling me.
Yeah.
And saying, like, the calling is not so much through the platform. The calling is to serve and to lay yourself down. Mm-hmm. And I think we're looking for microphones and we're looking for platforms and we're looking for stages. And God's looking for men and women that will say, I'm looking for the attic. And yeah. I'm looking for the prayer closet. And I'm looking for the not seen. I'm looking for the behind the scenes. I'm looking for that. I'm looking for men and women's call to that, the nameless, faceless generation.
I do think, too, like, a lot of people want the, or they feel called, or they want the platform or the certain position. But I've watched some people, and I've interacted with some people who aren't willing to give their whole time to that. Like, they're not willing to give up their, they're not willing to come to church every Sunday.
Right.
They're not willing to come to prayer. They're not willing to give up their time, but they still want
the platform.
But I think that's something that the Lord prepares us with too, because he wants us to have, he doesn't just want to put us somewhere where our heart's not in either. Like, he wants us to, before we ever get somewhere, have the heart that we want to be a part of his body. We want to be there. We don't want to miss out on anything that he's doing. And I feel like that's something that he has shown me that's important, is our heart has to be that we want to be a part of what he's doing before he ever puts us in a, like, a spot or a position.
Right, a position.
Because if we are there, then we should want to be there, you know?
Amen. Yeah.
And, like in our heart, can we say that we would rather be there than out on the boat?
Mm-hmm.
Or we would rather be a part of what God's doing than going out and doing XYZ,
yeah.
whatever we would normally
now,
be
if
doing.
You want to take the worship team on your boat to practice,
right? We're there too.
That's permissible.
Now, this is not including when we go out for outreach.
This is permissible at this point. All right.
Is there an organ on there?
No, but there's yeah. nothing evil about
and
a
if
boat.
You're an organist that wants the place to serve, and you love Jesus and willing to give up and serve.
If you have a portable organ we can take on a boat,
that's what I was thinking.
Then you have bonus points.
If I say it enough, it's kind of like that movie, If You Build It, They Will Come.
Yes.
Well,
if you say it enough, they will come. I'm speaking into the atmosphere. speaking it.
Call those things that are
blowing the trumpet. Blowing the trumpet in Zion.
Yeah. Sound the alarm.
Awaken
Send
the organist.
Send out the need list.
Awaken the flute.
Organist arise. I don't know. Like, I don't know why. I want it. I mean, it's probably just me, so I better be careful. But I do feel like the Lord is going to send in a new sound. And I think that in the church today, we have to be ready to receive that sound. It's not the four-instrument garage band that we're used to. I think there's a new sound coming in the earth.
I do want to say this, too. The enemy, maybe not actual Satan himself, but his minions or whatever, he's paying attention. And when you make it so known that you are so obsessed with this calling, or you want whatever this is, he is going to try to manipulate that,
yeah,
and try to tempt you. Like,
sin counts.
Like, I'll give a personal example. I got jealous, kind of I wanted, like, I felt like I needed to be more prophetic, or, like, better at, like, prophecy and, like, getting words, giving. I just felt like I was missing out, but it almost turned into, like, a jealousy or like a coveting. Like, I just wanted that at
right.
one point in my life, and I felt like there was something wrong with me because I didn't hear things the same way or receive things or be able to give things, and I almost just started, like, idolizing that gift too much. And the enemy, he had a heyday with it, and the Lord showed me real quick, like, you need more discernment. You're wanting prophecy, but you need discernment is what you really need. You
yeah.
might want this, but you got to have discernment first to be able to discern the spirits and discern what's going on. And I learned that really quick, because a lot of things went south, and I feel like we all go through these times, and the Lord's wanting to give us wisdom so
yes.
that we can steward what we're zealous for
yeah.
and what, mm-hmm. what we're desiring.
Yeah.
Because if not, we're going to be misfiring, and
ooh.
We're going to be
gotcha.
Creating, being a part of chaos instead of being, you know, hitting the mark.
Correct. Yeah.
So
that's good.
That's an example.
And make sure that you never get to that place of, well, I'm called, so you better serve me, and I'm the called one. Well, your greatest calling is to lay your life down.
Yes.
And so the call, first and foremost, and this is the most popular call because this is a universal call for Christians. The first call you have, Kaylee, I would say it's to him, But I'm gonna split it. I'm gonna say there's a call. It's a call to die.
Yeah.
Like we are called to die to self.
Which is still to him because we're laying ourselves on the altar.
We're called to die to self and go to him. I must decrease so that he can increase. So just like that little spot yesterday we played of J.D. Gears.
That was good.
That's his name. People were asking me.
J.D. Gear.
J.D. Gear. And he's a Baptist. Gear.
He was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention for a little while.
They were.
But he pastors a church in North Carolina area, I think it is, right there between.
Oh, okay.
I think he pastors like in the triangle area of Duke, North Carolina, and then the other school right there. I can't think of enough off the
man. Well, that convicted me because he was talking about pastors not wanting to let go of the sheep, even if it means they would be more productive in the kingdom by spreading their wings and flying. Mm-hmm. But it was convicting me, even as a sister in Christ. Like, we can take it personally. Of, are we willing to let our best some of our best friends in the kingdom go?
Yeah.
If they will be able to walk in what God has for them.
Right.
Well, the story before that was I didn't play all of it for the sake of time, but the story before that was so awesome because he talks about when they first got in this church planting movement where they were raising up people to go plant churches, that he raised up like this number of church planters, and he said you have full permission to headhunt in the sanctuary, and you basically saying this, you bring whoever you want with you. He says whoever can connect with your vision to plant and willing to go with you and serve, he says you have full permission to ask anybody, like anybody in this room, anybody that's willing to hook up and go. And he said he released them to do that until the Sunday they were going to send them out. And then he just saw who he's losing. And all these people that started to surround these church planters and they were going to pray for them and send them out, all these people, and he started to say, oh, my gosh, I've got worship leaders. I'm losing elders. I'm losing these are the people you don't want to lose. Like, these are the people. Like, can't you take some of these other ones that we do kind of want to lose? Like, that's what he said. He said, can't you take some of these people? Like, there's some of these people over here in the back. Like, they can go, okay? But don't take my. Don't, he's
the
like,
ones who
he's
aren't
like,
weren't doing anything that needed something.
He said, these are worship leaders, and these are musicians, and these are teachers, and these are elders, and these are preachers, and these are men and women of God that's doing tremendous things here. And he said, he started to freak out. And he said, he put his hand in his pocket. And he was like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, he's getting really nervous at that point because then it's starting to realize everything. I mean, it's a big church, and he's like, what are we going to do? Like, I'm losing my best men. I'm losing my best women. And then the Holy Spirit said, take your hands out of your pockets and put them like this and take your hand off my church.
Oh, catch it.
And he said, ow.
Yeah. Ow.
And now it's what's come out of his church and church planting and discipleship has been earth-changing in a lot of regions. And I just said,
that's like what Kaylee was saying. It's like, what, that vision you were seeing, the seeds are even people.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
And we're holding on to them. And Jesus is saying, give them to me.
Yeah.
So I can send them out.
Yeah, it really was. It's Church Leadership Podcast with Watermark Church, which I actually listen to Watermark Church quite a bit now for their Church Leadership Podcast. It's my favorite one that I can actually listen to. And that whole hour teaching was phenomenal. Like, I would advise it. J.D. Gear, and basically the whole premise is the standard of a church and the standard of a church should not be how many people are in your pews. It should be how many people you're sending out for ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole hour was so good. Pastor Darren said, if we can realize that our calling as leaders is to equip the saints for ministry, we can send them joyfully. We're not hoarders, we're senders. And we raise up and send out. And you can see that in the New Testament because you look at all these people that were sent. Like, you just look at Timothy, and he's over here, and he's over there, and Demetrius, he's over here, he's over there, and you have Paul that's here, Paul's there, Paul there, Paul there, Paul here, Paul everywhere. All right, it's you see it, like they're just being sent everywhere, and this person may be in Ephesus here, but then all of a sudden he's turning up in Colossae, and it's like they're just being sent everywhere.
We want to send them out, we don't want to snuff them out, because if we hold tight
to people or just things we're supposed to be obedient to do, it could quench the Lord moving. And he'll, honestly, he will raise someone else up to do it. But why should we make God have to raise someone else up to do it? Yeah. Shouldn't we just be obedient?
We should be a sending church.
Yes.
Sending out missionaries. And it is, what I think he said this statement. I'm trying to remember exactly how it went. He said something like one of the greatest staples of a healthy church is how much you're giving into missionary work. Like just missionary, just sending them out, funding church planters, funding new church plants, funding missions, funding water wells being dug in Africa. Like how much are you sending out in missionary work? Yeah. And that should be a staple. And that should be, and again, that's going to go back to the very first of generosity.
Yes.
That just like we said, that scripture applies to us. I think it applies to churches and ministry too.
Mm-hmm.
The more you hoard up, the more lack and need you have.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you freely give, the richer you'll become. For the man who waters is himself watered.
Yes.
I just think that it's an hour that's worth taking to listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good. I don't care if you're a church leader or not. It was really good. Pastor Darren chimed back in and said, sometimes in the church themselves who push back, if we send people out, what about us? When the church turns inward, God pulls his anointing. That is 100% true. I want to raise up missionaries, and I want to raise up movers and shakers, and it's not about... The coming out from among them is not about leaving them alone. The coming out of among them is we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not of their system. But you better believe I'm right in the middle of their system, shining brightly in the mm-hmm. midst of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So as Paul and Silas get put into the jail cell, when they began to shake, they did not adapt to the jail cell. The jail cell had to adapt to them. And when they started to shake the place with their praise and their song, like me and Josh did at Madrid that one night,
so beautiful.
It was something, you know, but whenever you start to shake in the midst of the prison, I'm telling you, the people in the prison got set free. The people guarding the prison got set free. It was a glorious encounter of revival, but that doesn't happen when we separate ourselves right. out of them. We are not of them, but you better believe we're right in the middle of them,
right.
shaking, moving, having influence, showing the glory of God, being the salt of the world, being the light of the world. I am not reclusing. I'm going to march right into the enemy's
Amen.
Camp and take everything back that he stole from us. For the years the caker worm has eaten is about to be redeemed
Amen.
A hundredfold
Come
in the
on.
Name of Jesus, and we are going to see the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Final words.
Let it be done. Challenging words today.
Yes.
But challenging words are words of life.
Yes.
And life more abundantly. This word is never meant to harm us, but the Lord was never intended to harm.
No, press and preserve is
yes.
what comes to mind.
He's always out to prosper
mm-hmm.
and make better.
Yes.
Everything. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, man. Well, we love you guys. We bless you. Praying for you, pastors. Praying for you, worship leaders, Sunday school teachers, the ones cleaning the church, the ones preparing behind the scenes. Praying for you. Praying for your all schools. I think Brett County starts Monday, if I'm not mistaken. So praying for Brett County school system as they start. BCA started this morning. And so excited for them to get back into there. And then Grayson, I think, started Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. So in this area. And then Miss Renee, I can't remember the start day for Barron County in that area that she had said. Do you remember, Hannah? She said that yesterday, and I couldn't remember, in the Hinesville, Glasgow area. But they should be starting back next week. I do. But I think it's
she
Thursday.
Said around the 13th or 14th.
I think 14th, the Thursday, is what she said. And so we are praying for our kiddos. Yesterday, I got to ask the waitress at Farmers, you know, what we could pray for her for. And she had just said her kids have a great school year. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's heavy on a lot of parents' hearts
mm-hmm.
is, you know, just having a great school year. And three ways that I like to pray for our school schools as they go back to school. His first revival among our kids. They may know them, know him and the power of his resurrection, and their chains may be fallen. The second thing is that teachers would be as much disciple makers as they are just educators and discipling them towards Christ. There's so many men and women of God that feel like their hands are tied and their hands are in bondage, but they feel like they're called to that system. And God will use you. Don't quit being a disciple maker. Mm-hmm. Don't quit sharing the light. And the third thing that I always pray, and I pray this very specifically, is a divine hedge of protection around all of our schools.
Yes. Yeah.
That is a serious, significant prayer that we should do. Pray for revival. Pray for the staff. And pray for a divine hedge of protection about all of them, spiritually, physically, naturally, whatever it is. We need a divine hedge of protection about them.
Amen. I was praying that the kids who got touched from the Lord this summer, that they wouldn't let their fire burn out mm-hmm. at school, because right. it's so easy to do that when you get around the environment that wants to put your fire out. Mm-hmm. But I just pray that the fire sparks other fire and it continues to burn. Amen.
Amen.
Oh man, we're out of here. We'll be back Monday morning at 7 a.m. Central Time. Love you, bless you in the name of Jesus.
The Box 2 Radio Network, WBFI, 91.5 FM, McDaniel.